Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I've got my lovely sister-in-law here, Emily Jensen.
Hey guys.
And today we just want to start off, we don't normally do this on the show, but when I listen to other podcasts, they do it like every time. So I'm kind of feeling like I can. First off, and this we should do every time, Emily, but we are so thankful for all of you guys as listeners. We just want to take a second to say we are overwhelmed by your responses to us, just the notes of encouragement and how you share things. And, you know, I don't know. It's just been amazing. Emily and I are super overwhelmed by just how awesome of listeners we have. And second, we want to take a moment just to ask too, if you haven't yet, if you would please just share this and maybe slap a review on iTunes or give it a rating of those stars. We really, really appreciate when you guys do that. And that's the best way to get the word out about the show, help new people find out about how the gospel impacts everything they do as moms. So if you just can take a moment, if you like what we're doing here, please just share it with your friends, pop it in a Facebook group or send it via email to some moms that you know that might enjoy it. We would really, really appreciate that.
Yes.
But to the point of the show, why you all are here, we are talking about birth plans today.
Yes. And as usual, Laura and I had such a great time preparing for this show because it meant that we got to recount pretty much all the details of our birth plan again.
Oh yeah. We love a good birth story.
Oh, we do. And who could not sit and listen and talk about them forever? I feel like that's my favorite thing to do is run to the hospital and hear how somebody's birth story went and hold their baby.
Yes. Totally. I know. It's the first thing I want to know is you hear about a new baby and I'm like, how did birth go? Tell me every detail I want to know. So, Em, do you want to start us off and talk through a little bit how your births went? Now, guys, remember, Emily has had three pregnancies, three labors and deliveries, but she has four children. She had a set of twins there right in the middle.
Yeah, it's going to be so hard to condense this because, as Laura and I said, you want to share all the details, but just from a planning perspective, my first one, I did kind of the traditional planning approach and went to the hospital and took the class, you know, walked around the birthing ward, thought, okay, we're ready. We know all the medical facts. You know, I read a couple of random books that people gave me, but honestly, I didn't know what to expect. And I got a little naive about it. And so I didn't have a lot of plans. And then my son ended up coming unexpectedly 4 weeks early. I'd had a healthy pregnancy, no reason to believe I was going to have my water break in the middle of a floor. And, but he came early and it ended up being just, you know, more painful than I could have imagined. And it was really hard. And it got me thinking for the next one, maybe I need to figure something out because that didn't go so well. At least according to me. And then I had twins the next time. So that kind of changed the story again. And as things went along, I began to see that, you know, I really needed to give a lot of trust to my doctor and to the hospital because there was a ton of factors and there was a lot of safety concerns and for myself and for the babies, it was a higher risk pregnancy. And actually what was interesting is that birth ended up going really, really well because I think that I was just, for me, I was a lot more flexible and I had really educated myself even more on a lot of the, you know, the different ways things could go and like what we were going to do if it went this way, then we were going to do this if it went that way. And so it just ended up being a really good experience. And because I had a pretty good experience, I thought, for my third one, this is going to be my epic natural delivery. the moment has come. I have the experiences. I can do this now. I did all the research on natural birth. You know, I prepared for it for about like 6 weeks in advance. And I got to the hospital and it ended up being my longest, hardest labor yet. I was like 24 hours. You know, they always tell you they get shorter.
Oh yeah. That is such a load. No.
And I was just so disappointed because even though I had done everything right, it actually ended up being one of my most high risk.
When you say you'd done everything right.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, I had a plan and I had practiced all my breathing and I had, you know, done all the mental things you're supposed to do and I had prayed and I had my spiritual music and it was good. Like, I feel like I was very worshipful in it, but it didn't, like, it was still a lot harder and like I still felt like it wasn't in my control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well. Imagine that.
Okay. So my turn.
I know. Excited.
Let's see. With my first, I was totally the mom that was like, read every book on the planet that has ever come about anything resembling childbirth. I was on every forum, on every blog, reading all the stories, and I'm taking notes, and I'm just compiling, you know, the best of each piece into a beautiful little Google Doc here. And, you know, I was the mom that had every detail down. I mean, I literally wrote on my birth plan, I want the lights dimmed. You know, I want them low. That was in writing, so it better happen, right? And I came in to childbirth, and or I was labor, delivery, whatever, ready for that. And I had hired a midwife or a chosen midwife, whatever you say about that. And of course, ends up an OB is my primary care provider because my midwife was out on vacay. And so starting with that birth completely did not go to plan. I mean, literally. The only thing I got was those lights being dimmed. That is it. And beyond that, the birth went completely different than I could have ever expected. There were a lot of just various things. Someday I will share that birth story on here. I'm going to link to my birth stories. I've written about them on the blog, so you guys can certainly read them. But someday I will share the story. We've got a few show ideas around birth and our personal stories and experiences that we'll dive into. But for now, just know that birth was everything I didn't want, basically. And for my second, then I went in with just like super open hands. I was like, I didn't even want to think about childbirth. I was actually in some ways probably avoiding even planning or thinking about labor and delivery because of the things that had happened through my first. So I ended up in some therapy. I ended up hiring a doula. I went with the same midwife and guess what happened? She was gone again, had an OB deliver. My doula couldn't be there. She was sick, had a replacement doula. But that birth went significantly better. And I think a lot of it had to do with just how I prepared for it. And I'm not going to say that my first had anything to do, you know, the things that happened because of how I prepared for it. Not at all. I'm not saying that. But I am saying some of the emotional healing or scars occurred also because of, I think, the way I held my birth plan and the way that I held on to birth and how it should go and my expectations. And so that draws us into kind of the point of the story or of the show today. Birth doesn't go to plan.
Yeah, it doesn't. And I think that like a lot of things in life, right? We want to put our hope in our plan. And it's like, if I just get everything right and I just go to, I mean, I remember, especially my last one, it was like, okay, I've got my chiropractor appointments lined up and I'm doing the exercises and I'm doing the walks and I'm doing the stretches and I've got my playlist. And if I just manipulate all these certain things, then I can be in control. Then I will have a quote unquote healthy, happy experience. And sometimes it does turn out that way, but we operate like it's a guarantee.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And I think that it's still important to be informed in your healthcare. So throughout the show, we like do not want it to make it sound like, hey, you shouldn't plan for birth at all. Like, no, that is a good thing. And you need to be informed and you need to understand the risks and the, you know, the benefits of an epidural before you say, yep, I'm going to do that. I mean, that's important no matter, you know, what you're going to do in healthcare. So we're not saying that at all, but we are going to talk today a lot about the heart attitude behind a birth plan. I mean, I was the girl that was like, okay, you know, minute one, I am going to walk around the house. Minute two, I'll maybe pop into that tub. Honey, you better fill it and have it ready. It better be warm. I want some lavender aromatherapy prepared. You know, I mean, I was that girl at the beginning that was like, this needs to go my way or else someone's going to get hurt. You know, like I was so caught up in my heart attitude of control, really, and really wanting this perfect birth story, assuming that that is going if I can control enough, I'm going to get this, you know, perfect story out of it.
Sure. And it's understandable why we would want to control this event in particular, because it is so, you know, it's like one of the most painful things that we're going to experience as a woman, just from a physical perspective, is childbearing. And so, mm-hmm. of course, we are interested in doing whatever we can to make it a smooth experience and, you know, I don't say painless necessarily, but, you know, just to make it a good experience. And I think that's okay, as Laura and I are going to talk about more. That's God's grace for us. But when our heart attitude is primarily focused on how can I, you know, eliminate anything that might be hard or scary for me and trust in a book or a method, then I think we've, you know, veered off track. I've done it. I know Laura has done it. And that was one of the reasons why we wanted to talk about it.
Yeah. And I think it's important to like look at sort of how the gospel plays in to childbirth. Are you surprised? We're going to talk about the gospel. How God created. Now, remember, childbearing was before the fall. So this is a good thing. God created it and said that this is good. And but because of the fall, because of sin entering the world, there became a curse on childbirth. So now there will be pain in childbearing and he's going to multiply it. And so that is part of the curse. And there is a lot of grace, which we will get into, but like this is part of it, you know, having issues in childbirth, whether that just be physical pain or complications going wrong and needing emergency C-sections or just different kind of care or hemorrhaging. Like there are so many things that can go wrong in childbirth, that's important just to remember like where that originated. But, and it also just shows because of our sin, like we were starting to talk about our desire for control, our tendency to trust ourselves and not in God. Let's see, what else, Em?
Well, I think we can even get wrapped up into like pride or despair, you know, which we've talked about on other shows, but you know, pride, like if your birth story does go well or it did go according to your plan, you can kind of start to feel like, hey, like if you prepare like me or you did what I did or you subscribe to this method, then yours is going to be fine too. And that kind of becomes your gospel and you become very, you know, you can become very proud or you can start to really despair and feel like what is wrong with me is all my fault. And if I just would have done something different and neither of those sides of the spectrum is true.
Yes.
Although that's like where we go in our flesh is either wanting to take credit for it going well or wanting to think that it's all our fault if it doesn't go well. And really, you know, yes, we have a part in the story, but God is in control and he is the one that's over our birth story.
Exactly. And I think if we can look at our birth stories as we're like planning our childbirth, and how we want it to go, and we're sitting there taking the notes, or we're just like, even just, I don't know, mentally thinking through whatever that is for you that you're going to do. You know, I think ultimately as you are writing that birth plan, like your first thought should be, okay, this I have to have an open hand with, and I have to trust God that he is going to work. He already knows how my birth is going to play out. He is sovereign over this. Yeah. And again, like that is working it out and figuring out, okay, this is what I would like for it to go, but check your heart attitude as you're prepping that birth plan and see if, are you saying that, hey, God is in control. Like I have to trust in the one who has, already overcame this pain and like look towards your eternal future, your eternal glory and say, you know, this, what, I'm about to experience now should point you that pain, that suffering, that deep heartache of childbirth and childbearing. Like that is just, should just point us to Jesus and recognizing that he is in control and he is sovereign over all.
Yeah. I love that, Laura, and talking about our eternal hope. And it seems kind of obscure. It's like, well, what does my eternal hope have to do with the fact that, you know, I'm getting ready to have contractions and, you know, all of that. But if you, you know, look at the whole redemption story across scripture, that is the big story that God is going to overcome all pain and suffering and the labor pains of life and sin in the flesh are going to end, and there is going to be joy on the other side of that. I think it's just such a beautiful picture that we get to live out. And in that, we can experience God's grace, which is what Laura and I also wanted to bring out on this episode is just how much God has provided relief for the curse in our lives through all kinds of things, you know, through doulas and midwives and methods for breathing and, you know, medical advances that allow us to have more safety than women have had in the past, or air conditioning, yeah. you know, that we don't have to be necessarily sweating to death, or having a birth tub. I remember thinking that whirlpool when I was in labor, you know, you push the button and the jets come on your back. I thought that is God's grace, you know, or that I can listen to music or have people there that bring me comfort. I mean, there's just so many things that have just given grace in the midst of that pain.
I mean, let's all just take a second to recognize what grace it is that we live in 2016 and can benefit from these things. I mean, Em and I were talking through kind of childbirth through history, and we were just thanking God that, you know, that we just have modern medical graces from God, really, to be able to deliver and to deal with those things. And so I think as we look into birth here, or as we talk through our birth plans, the idea that we want to get across here is that if you, as you are preparing for your birth and writing down this plan and thinking about what you want for it, like, it is totally okay to say these are some of the things that I really hope, and that's a key word, hope to have.
Yes.
But then also looking at it as saying, gosh, I want to thank God for this modern medical care that Emily was kind of talking through. All of the grace that is in birth, the choices that I have, the care that I can receive. Like, being grateful that there is help for when things don't go to plan. And second, trusting God that He is in control. He is working for your good. That this is, again, as we've been talking about, just like pointing to our ultimate rescuer, to the ultimate person who will rescue us and deliver us from all pain and all of life. Mm-hmm. And
then no matter what happens, we are in Christ.
Yep.
And we don't have to be tied. We are not our birth story.
Yeah. Amen. Oh man. Yeah. It's really placing trust in God and that He is, over everything, that He is our refuge, that He, we can't trust in training. We can't trust in person's experience. We can't trust in a book, a method, or plan. I know we kind of talked about this, but like, that is like the great, I think, hang up of birth plans. At least it was for me, that I was trusting that in my plan, you know, I'm going to somehow get this great birth.
Yes. So no matter what happens, our identity is not found in our birth plan or how it goes, or, you know, whether it's good or bad, our identity is tied to Jesus. So that is a good place to close today, I think. I know Laura and I could sit and talk birth plans for a long time. But we are going to have some good resources. Actually, there's a lot of pretty good articles out there about planning for birth and trusting in Christ and giving glory to God regardless of what your situation looks like. And so we'll be linking to some of those things on our show notes. And again, as Laura said, thank you guys so much for listening and for sharing. We'll touch base with you guys next time.
Thanks, guys.